Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network. AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
What's up?
Oh, gross.
Hi.
Whoa. Oh, it's old-time music.
Yes.
It's old-time music.
I have not heard this song at all tonight. I don't know what you're talking about.
When we hear the song, we think of Insidious. We think of old-school Warner Brothers cartoons. What else did you say?
Fallout and Bioshock.
It feels creepy and like someone's going to die.
It just feels super creepy. Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's really good.
We're like ants eating a cookie, perhaps.
Do know somebody's going to die because somebody in the room is infected.
Yes, I am.
You
can't see it because you can't get the close-up, but I was bitten by a walker tonight, and by the time the end of the show is, I should become a walker.
He's been trying to pretend this whole time.
I'm probably going to have to be the one to kill you.
I am Deanna.
I'll do it as you need to.
I'm the other D.
We've got an hour. He's not going to turn in an hour, guys. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV after show for The Walking Dead. This is Season 6, Episode 8, titled Start to Finish. This is the mid-season finale, guys.
I know, right? It came quick.
It was a really deceptive title when you think about the episode.
Because it does not finish anything.
It doesn't finish.
It doesn't finish a damn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was I wouldn't call it a disappointment, though. You would, but I enjoyed the episode.
I wanted more people to die. And by more people, I wanted some people to die.
And by more people, I mean this entire list of people that we listed last week they thought were going to die. We'll go over this at the end of the episode, don't worry.
Yeah.
Yep. If you want to jump in on the conversation, make sure to use the hashtag ABTVTWD.
Yeah, check it out.
I was actually disappointed by the episode, but
it's a little hard to be high energy because I feel like we're in an old time western right now.
I know,
my six shooters or something.
I know.
But anyway.
Well, I liked it. I mean, I know you guys are looking at it a lot from a writer's standpoint, and I'm just looking at it from, like, a viewer who just is really entertained, and I thought it was good because there was more action than I expected in this episode. I don't know.
It absolutely had a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
No doubt. This was a top three episode of the season for me.
And I like 100%. How there's, like,
wow, really?
Now this season, like, walkers and now another group are threats instead of just a group or just walkers. Now it's, like, two major things that are going to set this team back.
I'm going to start singing along with the
song. I just wanted more people to die. I think I just really wanted more people to die.
Well, before we get totally into the episode, we should probably introduce everybody. And also, be sure to follow us on iTunes, subscribe, YouTube, all that. If you guys rate and review on iTunes, it helps us stay high in the ratings. We can keep doing the show. We love doing the show, and that's how we do it. So this will be the mid-season finale. So this will be the last time you
until
guys see
February.
This panel until February. So wait till the end of it. We'll tell you guys where you can find each and every one of us, sort of the other projects we're doing here at AfterBuzz and whatnot. We won't kind of get into it yet. But at the end, we'll share everything. So otherwise, as you said, the hashtag ABTVTWD, and let's get into the episode, you guys.
Well, who are you, though?
I'm Ben Bateman. That's what I'm doing here. I'm hosting this, and you guys are all hosting it with me. This is John Carl.
Hi, I'm John Carl, at the John Carl on Twitter and Instagram, and of course on YouTube, Whiskey and Waffles.
Well, you got some smooth neon glasses going on, too.
Yep. These are the headache glasses. Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm Joyce. I'm glad to be back this week. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri.
And I am Dario Kristen joining you again. And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as well.
And now Snapchat.
My first official cherry popping of Snapchat tonight.
He's really good at Snapchat, guys.
I am.
Be sure to check it out.
Two and a half weeks and 17 takes.
I was a Periscope guy, sorry.
It's all good. You learn sometimes.
I tried Periscope and I just felt too embarrassed in public. I couldn't do it. I tried. I mean, I'd probably do it again. I kept looking around.
Looking for walkers.
Defeating the purpose. Yeah. Anyway, Ben Bateman Media. You guys find me on Twitter and Instagram. Let's get into the episode.
I think
we should start off with maybe like the first little chunk here. The Watchtower falls. We have chaos. Everybody goes and runs into hiding. Maggie runs and escapes, narrowly escapes walkers, and essentially her only screen time in the episode, hiding in some sort of like a treehouse platform type of situation.
Yeah, the lookout tower. Yeah.
The lookout tower.
Every time she's on the screen and she's doing something like that, I'm like, your baby, that cannot be good for her pregnancy. I mean, like, she was like pulling herself up and her stomach was, you know, scraping against the scaffolding, and it freaked me out.
Yeah, I have a prediction about that, but that's, you know, obviously for later.
I don't know how pregnancy works, so it didn't bother me whatsoever.
Okay.
How many months are we assuming that she is at this stage?
I mean, she's not showing yet, so I'd have to assume she's, what, a
three?
I'd say it's three. Really soon.
Like, I'd say like a month in.
She's
maybe in she just missed her period or something like that.
Well,
like,
you
she
got only so technical just knows. There, John.
I was going to guess two.
Now I do know how.
Thanks
it
for
works.
That explanation.
2 to 3 was my guess. 2 to 3 is my guess.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, so we have Maggie hiding, we have the chaos and people running away. They save Tobin. You don't really see Spencer, and then finally, you do see Ron holding a gun, staring down Carl. But he's like, "Okay, I got to figure it out." So everybody kind of runs into hiding, and that's where we pick up. So let's talk about Ron and Carl first.
Yeah. So I want to start out. If there was ever a time where he could have gotten the shot off and had it be like, oh, it was an accident, that was there. Because he could have just been like, oh, I was shooting at a walker and Carl's head got in the way of the bullet. Ron
but
messed up there.
Clearly not a quick thinker.
Well, no, he's kind of an idiot. So.
Yeah.
Right, he's just like really like a petulant child. He's not one of these characters that I feel like is written just for us to dislike. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one thing that bothers me a little bit. Like, there are enough characters in the show, because characters die so frequently in this show, which is like not the norm for most television.
Yeah.
Anytime you get a character on this show where you're like, your ideals don't fit with the rest of the show, or I don't like you, it's like you're just fodder essentially to get eaten eventually, which is a little annoying because it's like, why am I even buying into your story then? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We called it last week. We said that he was definitely going to go after Carl. I was a little bit annoyed the fact that when Rick came in and then it was the whole, you know, they overheard the conversation that was taking place. I think it was in the garage, correct? And there was a scuffle between the two, and when Rick asked what happened, Carl says that they were just fighting the walkers.
Like he was covering
for him. He was covering for him.
That was so foolish.
But
I was
annoyed by that because I wanted him to throw him under the freaking bus.
And I said this when we were watching the show, and I think I understand Carl's mentality at that one point. After he got the gun back from him, I would have thrown the kid under the bus. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, he's just far enough away and he's pushing against the couch and stuff like that, that if he tries to throw Ron under the bus, at that point, Ron can still react and still hurt him or his father in some way. Whereas if you wait till you have the gun back, then screw this
kid. Yeah, because he clearly wanted to take care of it himself. So he didn't want to bring up that they were fighting, you know, because he wanted to take care of Ron and do it all by himself.
It could complicate the escape operation, which Carl's... Like, this is the thing about this. Is like, we're so far into the story now. So people like Carl, characters like Carl, they've been through so much. We've seen them lose so many people close to them that I don't really believe it as much anymore when I see them make reckless decisions, even in like chaotic moments like this.
Right.
Like with Ron, it's like, no, Carl, you know if you turn your back on this guy, it's very likely he's just going to try to shoot you or your dad.
Absolutely. Or he's going to like push you into a walker or something like that. This kid has so many openings with everything being so chaotic that he could even make it look like an accident.
Yeah.
And so that's the only question I have there is like, are they trying to show us that Carl is not quite as grown up yet as we think he is? Like, he's getting there, but maybe he's still a little bit of a kid, and we're overestimating just how much of a grown-up he is.
Well, that can definitely be something into play, but I also think he's following his dad's example. Mm-hmm. I mean, his dad weeds out people that are trouble, who are clearly, like, you know, to the point of no return. Kind of like Ron's dad. You know,
right.
I'm not saying Carl wants to be that way and do all that stuff, but if he's going to kill someone who's going to affect the team, it will be Ron. And it mirrors just what Rick did in the past.
Well, just for the record, 4 out of 4 of us thought Ron was going to die this episode, as evidenced here by our predictions, so we were all dead wrong there.
Yay!
No pun intended. But
can I carry that extra credit over to the first the next season first episode, because I'm still going for that vote.
We'll update this, like we'll do like a little addendum at the end, because I feel like we got gypped. I feel like the actual action we were expecting to see, we didn't actually see all of.
Right. Yeah, it's all on its way, but it's not there just yet.
Yeah. So I their whole interaction was interesting. We should talk about probably just the whole like them getting into the house and just how did the other son
Sam.
How was he dealt with and all that? Like, because I feel like there was a moment where he zones out and things get real slow.
It was very Nicholas.
Yeah.
Also, real quick, going back to...
Great analogy you said compared to Nicholas, too.
Yeah. Going back to Ron, I was also reminded of Nicholas because when Ron and Carl were... I think it was the second time they're in a room alone together, Ron turns around and goes, Carl, I'm sorry. And, like, he held the gun up to Carl, or he was about to, before Carl got him down. And that reminded me of Nicholas, when Nicholas said thank you right before he killed himself. Yeah. So I thought maybe, like, Ron was going to off himself, too, or, like...
Yeah, yeah, you know. There was totally a second where it's like he was running one to the other side of the room, and he pushed Carl. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
As ballsy as the writers of the show are with some of the things they do, I don't think teenage suicide is something they would show.
That's
that
true.
I do think they won't cross that line.
Yeah,
a kid getting killed, yes, but not a kid committing suicide.
I thought he was
going
to run out to the
suicide.
Walkers. I thought he may run out the door and be with the Walkers, and then they destroy him.
I honestly thought when they were standing in the room, and Carl had just gotten the gun from Ron, he was up against a window that, you know, it didn't look like anything particularly strong. I really thought a Walker was going to burst through and get him there.
But. Yeah,
there's a number of times. And, like, not importantly that we would even reference here, but just we were talking about, like, teenage suicide. There's a number of times that, like, the source material does things that are more daring you just don't see. They'll just change it a little bit, and you don't actually see it in the show. So I think that's another one of those situations where no matter what we would think could happen, I think teenage suicide is definitely something you wouldn't see.
Not on AMC.
Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't want to see that at all. Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of hate the kids, so.
It's really difficult, I think, to put children on television, children and teenagers on television in, like, chaotic situations like this. Because when you were a teenager and dramatic things happened in your life, did you deal with it as, like, a perfectly organized adult who thought rationally about everything?
Absolutely.
Nope.
And I mean, it's...
Let's be real.
And not deal with it like a rational adult now.
And that's dealing with like real life things, not walking dead people that are going to eat your family. So it's hard for them, I think, to frame those characters in a way that's not annoying, because you're like, these petulant children are just, like, running around and yelling.
No,
and
I agree.
So
I mean, I think
adolescent.
Carl, I think Carl's just the exception to the rule, but everyone else kind of falls.
He's been terrible for
standard.
So long. He's had good moments recently, but he was so bad for so long.
Well, now he knows when bad stuff happens, he actually gets into the house without being told to.
Yeah.
So he's grown up a little bit.
He's being respected a bit more. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the second bit. We will loop back around, obviously, to these characters again later in the whole escape plan, but let's talk about Rick, Deanna, and Michonne.
Yes.
So... In the way back to the house, Deanna falls on a saw blade, which you said it's a clean cut, but it's a jagged saw blade.
Because it would be
I mean, compared to the bite.
A dull bite from dull teeth. Yeah.
Do you think that, like, a dull bite from dull teeth when you're, like, full of adrenaline would be better than a saw blade jamming into your leg?
I think in any situation, a saw blade would be easier to handle than a bite from dull teeth.
Oh, you think that a bite from dull teeth...
would be really painful. Like, more painful than, like, getting something that's way sharper than teeth.
Yeah, but I think in that situation, you're not going to know the difference. I mean, there's so much going on. She wasn't even thinking about what the bite came... or what it came from. Your adrenaline's kicking in. She probably didn't even feel anything at the beginning. You know what I mean?
I mean, look at your hand. I mean, all the adrenaline's kicked in. You didn't even know you cut
yourself. I'm still bleeding.
He's not getting pale yet, guys. He hasn't started sweating profusely yet.
AMC is not paying for this wound mark, by the way. So, just for anybody who's asking or... wants to make a comment about that, I'm just saying.
So Deanna takes... We find out in a few minutes that she's taking the bite. Obviously, Rick is kind of doing his... He's doing his leader thing, trying to take out some of the walkers and whatnot. There's totally a moment where he's doing... where I'm thinking to myself, why isn't he just running? Why is he even bothering shooting any of these things? Because it's not like the ones they were shooting were, like, right here. They were mostly just, like, the same distance as they were from everyone else. I kind of feel like, why aren't you just running and just getting people and getting inside a house?
I think it's a natural instinct, though, to honestly shoot. I think in that scenario, you're just so petrified of what's going on that your natural just... motion is to shoot the closest thing coming at you.
And I do think you want to take out whatever's closest to you, because it puts more distance between the people you're protecting from the first wave of the walkers that are getting close to you.
I mean, at the very least, the instinct is to protect himself and the group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. It is nice in these chaos moments, like, so far into the show, where you look at a character like Rick and you think, like, man, he's really established himself as, like, one of these just pillars of a show type of characters.
Yeah.
And we've talked about before how Jack from Lost is, like, he's sort of a great analog in the way that, like, he goes up and he goes down and he's the central point of the show, and you like him or you dislike him. There's points in Lost where people hated Jack.
Yeah.
But he was still the guy. And he was still the guy that led the group, even when he was down. And you see the same thing out of Rick, and it's like, it's crazy 6 seasons in to think, like, this guy's just such a good television character. He's so iconic at this point. This is such a watched show that you reference, and you see in a moment like this when he's shooting walkers and he's just totally taking control. She says, you can grow a beard better than most people.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's I was getting a little sentimental watching it, thinking...
Did you have a teardrop?
Not quite, but we're 6 seasons in, and I love this show, and Rick is such a great character.
He is.
You know?
Well, it's also nice to see Michonne, because I feel like this season, or this first half of the season, we haven't seen a lot of her. You know what I mean? We've seen her in a couple episodes, but not really a lot of dialogue for her. So I feel like the second half, she's going to really come in with a force.
What do you guys think about the scenes between... So I love Deanna's scenes, by the way, in this episode.
Love them.
Oh, actually, this is probably the best scenes for her.
I'm actually really sad she's gone. I mean, I thought she was a good...
I'm not.
I'm glad she's gone. That's why. No.
I thought they gave her...
Did we predict that she was going to be gone, by the way?
Let's see. What did we get? Deanna.
Yeah, we did.
Three of us.
Yeah, I remember you didn't.
You
Wait, I didn't?
You said she wasn't going to die.
No, we had you and it's crossed out.
Yeah.
I think that was an accident of cross out. That's what I'm going
You messed up.
We figured because her plans were in good hands by now, so like she's probably going to die. But no, I thought, I'm really sad she's gone. Like she was kind of, she was a good, strong, motherly figure who like she says, she lived her life the way she wanted to from start to finish, and it showed on the show, and I really liked that part of her personality.
Yeah.
I loved her interaction with Michonne. It was, to me, the first time Michonne was ever faced with the question, what do you want? And because it's always about...
She said it several times to Michonne, too.
Because it's always about the group. It's always about protecting the group and what's best for the group and all this stuff. It's like, not only Michonne is dealing with this, but everyone is dealing with what do just they want? What does me and everything? So I thought that was a really, you know, good realization moment for her.
I don't know. I'm going to be called, like, the heartless one for saying it. I think Deanna needed to go. And the reason I say this is what's going to happen after this is going to be the cleanup of the situation. Whether or not they stay in Alexandria or anything like that, the survivors are going to need one leader. Mm-hmm. And we've seen up to this point, they've been debating of do you trust Rick or do you not trust Rick? And now it's kind of your only option. By having Deanna there, there was always that fallback of, well, these are different people than us. Now it's like, well, your leader's gone, so are you with these people or are you on your own? Because you don't have a leader anymore because you're not going to have Spencer as your leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really thought that the scenes we got out of Deanna were it was the first time from her character that I feel like I've gotten a scene that was really heartfelt and not quite as much of like a sort of cardboard cutout of what her leader character was supposed to act like. Mm-hmm. And she's had good scenes before, but like this was really honest. I don't know. I was touched by the character and the acting by Tova Feltsche, I think is her name, was really wonderful. So I was happy about that. Where the hell was Spencer?
Well, that annoyed me the entire episode. Where was Spencer?
Well, I think there were a lot of people that we just didn't see during this episode. I mean, Aaron and
where's Denise?
Yeah, there were just tons of people, and I think it was. There was so much that was happening in this episode, and that's why I would argue I would have loved it if this was one of the 90-minute episodes.
Right.
Yeah.
But they wanted to focus so much on just these few specific stories that, you know, kind of like what you had always predicted about the Rick and the RV situation. I do think when we come back from the break, we're going to find out what happened to the others.
Mm-hmm.
Those characters are too important to just die off camera.
Right, of course.
So I think it's their story is just them hunkered down in a safe spot. They're not making the heroic move right now.
Yeah.
Right. And then kind of going back to the point right before that you were saying with Deanna talking to Michonne about what do you want? She kept asking that question. But she's asking that question to Michonne, but what really can Michonne get out of what she really wants? You know what I mean? Like she's with the group.
Yep.
There really isn't a lot of room for you to go off and do what you really want.
Or to choose.
You're in this situation that you have to deal with the group. I mean, yeah, she could go off on her own. That's your other choice. But you don't really have an individual option, really, in this group, I feel like.
Your group or your Enid, basically.
Yeah, you know, so...
I see what you're saying. And it helped Deanna that she had her husband and her kids, too.
Right.
So, like, Michonne doesn't have anybody but the team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, she doesn't have her kid anymore. She doesn't have her boyfriend zombies anymore. There's nothing for her to, like, take care of except for the team. So I get what you're saying. Like, it doesn't really make sense for Michonne to figure, like, what she wants for herself because, I mean, what do you want? You want a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean...
And Deanna, like, really... Deanna, really, like, that's sort of her character the whole time has been acting like it's, like, in the face of all adversity, no matter what. Like, we're going to really act like the future is always bright because we'll work around this stuff and we're going to live a real life. So, like, she really... even as she's dying... is talking to Michonne about this in a way that she seems like it. She thinks that really matters. So that was... It was nice. It was interesting also to see the way that Michonne reacted to that.
Absolutely. She felt lost and kind of... Yeah. She was trying to figure it out. But I always still have always felt that Deanna's reality wasn't the reality of what really things were.
It's not
were.
For everybody.
It's not
it
for
can
everybody.
Be.
And even Rick coming in and kind of taking over, it had to transition and change the way Deanna thought about a lot of things. So I just right. always still felt like Deanna's reality is not the realistic things that are going on.
Well, that speaks to sort of just a character trait, and I was talking about this off camera before we started this, but I feel like this is something that they do in this show a lot, and it's because you can see characters die. Yeah. So you do get annoyed with this, like, sort of wasted time with people that you don't really believe in. You see it with Morgan. You saw it with Deanna before she was like, I want to survive. I'm willing to do what it takes. Enid, the way she acts sometimes. Nicholas. It's like anytime the sensibility of a character doesn't match up with those main characters, you have to ask yourself, am I going to come around and agree with this person? Or am I going to just stick with my main characters, my right. Rick, my Carol?
Sure.
And if I stick with that character, this person's always going to be wrong, and they're just going to be a function to drive the plot till they die. Mm-hmm. Which is a frustrating it's a frustrating reality of this show, because you don't get to kill characters in most shows like this. You don't get to kill six characters in one episode if you want to.
Or zero characters in the episode. I'm still pissed about that.
She's Deanna's dead. She's
I
not
mean,
alive.
We can we assume that die. Well, we know Deanna's dead.
Dying.
Yeah. Well, I think yeah. when she walked up, opened that door with the walkers coming in, she's a gone.
She
gave
like a
she gave her last stand.
She gave like a MacGruber yell.
Yeah, we don't need to see it anymore. And then I thought it was ironic that we agreed last week kind of that even, I don't know if it was on camera or off camera, but that Spencer was really the contributing factor to the tower falling.
Yep.
And then
oh, yeah,
we didn't see him at
all. That was definitely on camera.
You know what I mean? And we didn't see him, which is ironic. You know what I mean? So
that's so weird. His mom is dead, and he yeah. just we never saw him. Where yeah. did he go? Where is
now,
he?
Now we have to figure out what he's going to do when he finds out. Is he going to, like, lose his shit?
Lose his shit, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Spencer?
Yeah.
We all know Spencer's function. I said last
I think
week,
he already lost his shit.
He's so yeah. unstable.
He's a shit yeah. weasel. Yeah. He's going to find
a shit weasel.
He's it was like five shits rapid fire. I just want to point that out.
We need a quarter jar right now.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of cursing. Yeah. Okay,
but Deanna did have the quote of the entire episode.
Yes, when shit. When she said
it
shit.
It was, well, shit.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah,
that was
great.
The best.
That was great.
Did any of you guys
and then commercial break.
Did yeah. any of you guys have any concern at all when Rick opens the door and sees Deanna over the crib?
What the hell?
I think I said it, and we all watched the show with headphones on, so yeah. people at home might not realize it. And I said red herring. And
yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys heard that.
I didn't.
There's no way she's getting to Judith in a bad way.
No, I didn't think she was. I thought it was actually the way it was set up, that she literally was yeah. trying to... I thought she just was trying to get to Judith, and Judith start crying, and maybe she lost her...
Yeah.
You know, she tripped over something, which is
yeah.
kind
which
of...
Which is what basically happened.
Basically what happened. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that Deanna was, like, looming over that freaked me out. What made me so upset was that she kept being left alone.
Right.
Even
yeah.
after Rick was like, someone's got to be with
somebody's
you, and
gotta
it
be
can't
with
be
you.
Judith. And then he yeah. leaves. And then, like, 10 minutes later, Michonne goes in there. But it's, yeah. like, the whole time Deanna mm-hmm. was left by herself, I was, like, I was getting annoyed. I was getting
yeah.
really mad.
None of us really expected, I think, that you would see a baby get
no,
eaten by a walker.
Not.
But then again, in season 3 or 4, is it, when the two girls, the two little girls, the one girl,
yeah.
is it Lizzie kills
Lizzie,
the other girl?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty gnarly. I guess it's like, child-on-child drama instead of, like, walker-on-child
child
yeah.
drama. Yeah.
But, yeah, I just,
shows
it,
really
it wouldn't,
weird lines.
I just think it wouldn't make sense for Deanna to kill Judith. I don't know.
It wouldn't make any sense, no.
Well, there, like
no.
It wouldn't do anything.
Well, this is the horrible way to say it. There's no payoff. There's no payoff to that happening.
It would just be an effect.
Well, except
yeah.
for Rick, I guess.
Total
like,
shock value.
Being in,
losing
going
it.
Insane.
Yeah, but we've already had that.
We've
if
already
you
had
remember
that.
All the
yeah.
way back in the prison
yeah.
when Rick thinks that Judith is gone and she's actually with Tyrese and everything like
yeah.
that.
We're like, we don't need that right now. We don't need Rick.
We don't need another
right
Rick
now.
Going crazy.
No. We've
Rick
already
Rogue.
Dealt
and
with
we,
that.
And we do see the green balloons again pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes.
When Maggie's lying on her
yeah.
back.
And it's mm-hmm. a moment for her as she's just narrowly escaped and she's like, it's all going to hell, and she sees the green balloons. It's supposed to be a reminder. He's out there.
Yeah.
You need to find him.
He's almost here.
So let's actually touch on Glenn and Enid just for a second, because we only see them for a brief moment.
He didn't do anything this episode.
No.
He gave a little speech, and that was it.
But I was glad about his speech. He basically
yeah.
told her, like, then you leave. You know what I mean? Like, you got choices here.
It was the first smart thing Glenn's done in like a whole season. Like, I mean, it was just so annoying over and over to hear him just be like, oh, I'm just going to bend over backwards for you. You're probably going to get me killed. I'm just going to bend over backwards and give you a pep talk. You'll probably get me killed.
Yeah.
You're on your own. I'm going to go find my wife.
Yeah.
He, like, books it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I say it every week, I feel like, when we've watched the show, but I'm just like, these fucking emo millennials, they're the worst. These kids, and they're just, everything has to be emotional and all that stuff, and it's just like, just let them die at this point.
I have to say, like, being a teenager, they're already really mopey and like...
Yeah.
You know, down on everything.
They
but
suck.
On top of that, they have the zombie apocalypse. Like, how can... I can't blame Enid or Ron for acting this way. I mean, It's like tons of emotions and hormones.
But you got a woman and man up at this point, though.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying, like, I get it.
I hate real teenagers. I think that's the problem.
It's a clever guys.
It's really a get off my lawn type situation right now for me.
I feel like when adults act foolish in the show, when smart characters act stupid, it's a green light. This person is probably expendable. Mm-hmm. When teenagers act silly, they could get killed or they could grow out of it and learn their lesson. So with kids, it's a little bit more annoying because you're like, I might just have to deal with this character.
That's
and they
true.
Might be around for a while and they might try to give me an arc. Whereas like with the adult characters, for the most part, unless it's a really integral character, if they're acting foolish, they're just going to die.
And I think that we saw Carl set the tone for most of the teenagers on the show because we see, yes, he was a little knucklehead for a second, but he has grown into a different space.
He's figured it out.
Yeah.
We'd like to call out a tweet here because it's very, very smart. I feel.
From Channy, who used our hashtag ABTVTWD, and they said, Carl kind of reminded me of Glenn.
Yeah.
Oh.
Two characters that have pissed me off recently. Yeah,
In what way?
It's 140 characters.
By naively dealing with a threat or somebody who's going to get you killed.
Oh, okay, I get it. Okay.
With compassion and patience, which is not the way the world works anymore. And if you've been around your father or your leader and you've seen your best friends get eaten or get, you know, attacked by cannibals, then you know that you don't have any sympathy or patience for people that pull guns on you.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah.
It never ends well.
Do we get that right, Channy? Let us know.
Yeah.
Call in.
We should have. That would have been good.
I saw, like, some... Because we talked about how the things Enid has said in the past episodes really mirror what the wolf's mentality is.
Yep.
And I felt like we kind of saw that today with the wolf that's being held by Morgan and Enid when, you know, Enid is just like, that's just the way things happen now. Like, this is how we lose people. And, like, she just had this very, like, nonchalant whatever attitude now. Same thing with the wolf when he was like, nothing is unfair anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's unfair anymore. So it's kind of like that same... way to look at things or perspectives are very similar, which is probably clear that she's definitely with them.
The one thing with Enid that is interesting is, like, you know, we saw in the flashback with her, it was they're in the car, stuff goes down, and she loses whoever she's with at that point. I think it was her family.
Mom and dad, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, this is what happens. It happens every time. It's going to happen again. And I don't know if I buy into that from her because we've only really seen it happen once with her.
Mm-hmm.
So is it just, again, that overreactive kid of, I've seen it happen once, so this is what reality is now?
That's her PTSD.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's, or maybe it's like she's been out with the group or she was in Alexandria and she's seen people she sort of cared about die. I don't know. Her whole character is kind of confusing, but none of us predicted she was going to die. So apparently we all think she's still very important to the show.
Yeah.
She has more to offer, I think, before anything happens.
A bit more of an arc. A bit more of a teenage arc.
She's kind of like a Joffrey-esque character to me, where I hate her and they're going to keep her around because they have to keep somebody that ticks me off around.
What's funny is what we're seeing is that there's a lot of teenagers on the show more so than any other season, I feel
you
know, I mean, and they're a major focal point, you know, so mm-hmm.
Well, let's you touched on Morgan a little bit and the wolf, so I want to get into that a little bit. So so Morgan's got this wolf. We saw Carol go into the house to confront him about this at the end of the last episode.
Who do
you have in there now? She went into the house, but then when this episode opens and the watchtower falls, they're outside.
Yep.
Right. And she has a concussion. So did we see that? Did I miss
that? Yeah, yeah. Think it was they start having the argument right as the tower breaks. And no matter what you're going through at that point, I think it's literally like you run towards the noise to find out what's going on to see if you could help at it. And then they saw the zombies were, or the walkers were running in. And she did trip. When she tripped, she definitely dropped bullets. And that was like, I didn't really notice her head hit, but that's definitely where this concussion came from.
Could she have made it up just to, like, get to the wolf in the basement?
I don't think so.
Like, to play it, to let Morgan, like, dote on her in a way?
Well, I'm sure that when Morgan closed that door, it's, you know, one of those doors where you close it, it locks behind you kind of scenarios.
Yeah.
So that's why they went up instead of going down.
Right.
Okay.
That was my gut on it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, so they get into... They get into the house, and the wolf's tied up. You have... Is it Olivia? Olivia, right?
Yep.
She's the doctor.
Denise.
Yeah. Olivia's
the
doctor.
We
mix them up.
Yep. We always get them
confused. Well, I have them both written down here, so I looked at the wrong name. But
it's all good.
So Denise, she's sitting there, and she's talking to the wolf, and the wolf's talking to Carol, and this whole entire interaction goes down where, essentially, Morgan is doing his all life is precious nonsense. and I call it that because I think it is total nonsense. And yeah. I think that this... But you know what I thought about more and more about this? Okay, so we saw Morgan in 90 minutes. They gave us 90 freaking minutes of what his backstory was to show us that he was stone cold nuts, willing to kill people, believed the world was gone, and was just... He was as close to, like, essentially a cannibal mentality as anyone, right? Like, just like, the world is over. Mm-hmm. He meets this guy, convinces him that the world is different, that all life is, in fact, precious. Almost like a religion in some ways. Like a total ideology, a fundamentalist ideology that this is the code you need to live by. I started to think about how, like, naive and annoying as a character he seems, and I was thinking... That's the sign of a guy who's equally crazy. He's just crazy in believing this is the way now instead of the other way. He's not rational. He's been sold on this. The only thing that keeps him sane is the idea that this is the way the world works now.
So it's become extreme.
It's an extremist. It's like a fundamentalist thing. He's arguing for it as if it's his religion. Like, he has to keep this sacred. If he doesn't, it's over for him. And that's why he's acting so crazy. And I think that's really important to pay attention to because he is still crazy. I don't think he's sane.
I don't think he's saying. I had a really big issue with that episode anyway, because it's like the whole savage black man caged. You know, to me, it's like a bigger issue sometimes with that episode, honestly. But I do think that he is still has some issues, you know, going on, and they're trying to kind of make him more of a person who's normal, but he is not normal, you know. It's going to be interesting to see where he kind of develops because he is so extreme. It's like, I feel like he's almost someone who is part of a religious cult and all of a sudden they become part of that cult and they feel like they need to tell everyone and spread the word of that cult and convince everyone the way that this particular thing is.
Right. You know? So watch out for your friends who have bow staffs, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
Well, I think I made the parallel between him and Father Gabriel last week. Remember when Father Gabriel was trying to put a service together and Rick was shutting it down? Morgan's kind of experiencing the same thing. And, you know, we've got Father Gabriel with his religion. He's sort of... I wouldn't say he's letting go of it yet, but, like, he's questioning it. And Morgan hasn't gotten to that point with his faith and his belief yet. Like, he's not questioning it. He's still, like, very much hard into believing that it's the right thing to do. So I want to just repeat that, like... You know, Morgan's getting his belief shut down just like Father Gabriel.
Yeah, fully. And that was, I mean, that's the flip side to what I was saying is like, it's almost like as crazy as he seems, that's where I tonight was beginning to think I can sort of understand his point of view more. Because as I was saying before, he is the classic character we have where if we don't get in line with his point of view, then he's the enemy. Mm-hmm. And I guess you have to figure that his point of view comes from the fact that if he didn't have it, he'd be nuts.
Yeah,
he's a reformed character. You know, he is definitely trying to change his ways, for sure.
The whole thing with his interaction with Carol is, regardless of the concussion or anything like that, she is coming across as the aggressor in the situation, and it's always much easier to side with the calmer individual in an argument versus the person who's screaming at somebody and holding a knife and stuff like that.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's just like... things have gone bad because of him, and while we know this and Carol doesn't, with the wolf escaping with the gun and stuff like that, I just can't get behind this guy no matter what.
Well, definitely not, and I think, as I said last week, and it's even more clear now because we've seen the consequence of his actions, the clear consequence. We lost an important character. We lost a medic, somebody who can actually save lives, because Morgan was such a pacifist. And it's the whole, like, science versus faith argument, right? That's, like, essentially what that's sort of trying to demonstrate is that if you stand still and you believe that you'll be saved by this belief that all life is precious, you'll be eaten by a walker.
Right.
And if you don't believe that's the case, which is Carol's point of view, you stand still, you're going to kill the walker because it's going to eat you if you don't. It's just, like, it's physically there in front of you. That's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, they're sort of trying to show you that, like, you have to pick a side, right? Morgan's picked his side. Carol's picked her side.
Yeah.
They're at odds. And it represents kind of like a bigger ideology, which is interesting, but it doesn't make it any less annoying because we lost a good character, and what's going to happen now?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Carol was right. Her intuition was the stronger intuition because she wanted to kill him, and he ended up, the prisoner ended up turning on everyone just like she thought he would.
Right.
So.
I think I said this last week, I thought that Morgan was going to turn this episode and, like, kill the wolf.
Yeah.
And, like, totally switch his point of view on everything.
And I was
and
from
I
the
thought
other.
Carol was going to defend the wolf based on what she said last week to Sam about how you're a monster if you
don't kill. The only thing that keeps us from turning into monsters is killing.
Yeah.
And what was the quote she said that we all laughed at? Where she said...
Oh, she was like, I'm going to kill you...
so nobody else has to die.
To kill him, because I don't want anyone to die.
Yeah.
I'll kill two people to prevent other people
she's
from
concussed.
Dying.
She's concussed. Yeah. She's concussed. Make a lot of
she's
sense.
A little loopy on that.
But I thought that was just a weird cut.
That was, like, that was a weird scene. Yeah.
Like, the scene before didn't really lead up to this next scene very well, and, like, hearing Carol say that with such drama in her voice was just...
It
was a little
weird.
Interesting.
See, I actually liked it because for me, it showed that Carol wasn't herself at like in totality. Because
true.
She did hit her head on the ground and stuff like that. Because I would imagine if they really went one on one and Morgan is holding back and Carol's going for it, Carol would win.
Yeah, she's a badass.
Yeah, so you had to show a little bit of weakness on her end.
Let's talk about what the situation evolves into. So Tara and Eugene and Rosita are in the next room.
Can we flashback before that, though?
To the radio?
To the radio. So, every one of us was wrong, including everybody that left comments on the
very
video.
True.
Because we thought Carl was gone, right?
Everybody thought that it was Carl. Some people said it was Glenn. Some people said it was Rick. Not a single one of us said
it was Eugene.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't have thought.
Internet, we all messed up.
Yeah, we did.
It was just Eugene in a moment.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. It was perfect timing on Eugene.
Yeah. That was one of those clever reveals that I was happy about because it wasn't such a distracting detail like Glenn not actually dying.
Right.
It turns out that it's Eugene on the radio, and they get into the garage. Eugene's reading world history. He knows how to pick
because
locks.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
With his sword, you know, his...
His machete.
Machete,
yeah.
Yes.
In the lighter up there. But it was like, the room was bright, so why are you wasting your lighter right now?
Can you guys do a good Eugene impression?
Nope.
Lock picking is one of my skill sets.
I believe it is within my ability to pick locks. I don't know.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Ben.
Oh, thanks, buddy. It's not really that good. Thank you.
Sorry, dude.
I'm
not gonna lie.
It was really bad. Yeah, I didn't think it was very good either. I never practiced. So anyway, he can pick a lock. He's reading world history with a lighter, and Rosita's all like, "Is this where it ends?" and whatnot. They break into the next room. Did you guys find the scene frustrating, or did you find it like they didn't have the confidence to take the headshot? What was it?
I thought it was so frustrating, but they've never seen this wolf before, right? I can't imagine they came across him, but they don't
still
know who
holding
he is.
Denise and stuff.
I know.
Like that.
I was frustrated. Don't get me wrong. That scene frustrated me because I feel like there were so many moments where they A, could have shot him, or B, Denise could have like quickly run. I know he could have shot at Denise, but there was like a good few seconds where she could have. Run away from
He only had the machete, right? So theoretically.
He had a gun.
You're right. Yeah. But I still feel like all three of them had guns. Someone would have had a good shot and shot him before.
At least in the leg.
At least in a leg or something before he would have been able to do anything to Denise.
Here's what I want to say. They were maybe 10 feet away from him, right? Maybe 10, 12. How often do these characters stand there and shoot at a walker 10 to 12 feet away and headshot it every time?
Every time.
Yeah. Every single time.
Yeah.
So there's two guns on him. And the girl who's teaching combat training out in the field, who's supposed to be a total badass, has a clean shot, and just slides the gun over?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. It's also, I guess they didn't know what the wolf was capable of,
right.
But also, like, he's got a knife to her throat. He looks insane.
He looks
he's got
crazy
a
as hell. He looked like, what's the killer from... God, what's his name? Manson. Charles Manson. He kind of had like a Charles Manson killer kind of look.
Good old Marilyn Manson. That killer.
I guess the justification for that could be like walkers can't really fight back.
I want to know in this world, like, did speed come out? Because it's like, oh, what happens if they hold the hostage? Shoot the hostage.
Yeah, right. Classic.
I'm also an asshole.
Shoot the hostage, Harry.
But we need her, though.
We need her.
Yeah, I didn't say kill her. I just couldn't shoot through her.
Well, they couldn't shoot her, because he would just slit her throat. I think they saw the craziness.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He would just cut her throat.
They would have had to headshot him, and I think they could have, but there's some reason they didn't, so I guess that's his escape, and he'll clearly be relevant again. Let's move on to the crazy ending of the episode, to the fact that Sam is terrified, and Deanna takes out a bunch of walkers and sacrifices herself. As they leave her behind.
Doesn't kill herself because she said, I want to go out on my own terms. And chooses to use her bullet to thin the herd for whatever it's worth to help Rick and the guys.
Yeah.
And also draw noise upstairs, too.
Yeah, right.
I forgot to point out when we were talking about Deanna, when she was talking to Rick and she was saying, will you look out for them like you look out for your people? Which made it clear to me that she heard about Rick talking in the last episode to Tara about how, like, you've risked your
life.
For these people. And she's... probably just like, these are your people now. So
yeah.
I liked that little response to last week. And then her saying, like, giving him the right answer as to why he saved Spencer this episode. Yeah. That was really cool, too.
And she also, she used another Latin phrase, different than the last one,
she
right?
did.
And yeah. this time it meant, someday this pain will be useful to you.
That was, yep.
that was the same one.
Oh, it was the same, same one? Oh, yeah. I got it. I thought it was the second one.
Nope.
No. And, you know, that's very much seems to be her point of view. This episode was like, I'm going to die, and I know I'm going to die, but my loss will be sort of your gain. You'll carry on in my absence, the strength, and here's the plans and all that. So they decide to gut a zombie.
Oh, two. God.
Finally, because I asked this question last week.
They were saving it.
When the hell are they going to bring this back?
You know, finally,
they did.
They were saving it for a total letdown cliffhanger.
But my biggest problem with this is that, so you don't need to cover your face?
Yeah, that was weird.
You need to cover your
None
face.
None of them covered their face. None it of was them. Only on their bodies.
I don't know why they didn't. Maybe that's they're saving that for a reason. I don't know.
They put enough on
we'll
them.
We'll save that till after the spoiler prediction.
I don't
part.
Know. That was my like, biggest thought with that episode. Oh, I mean, with that part.
I would
though.
Imagine the scent of all that gunk is like wafting up everywhere. So like the zombies are just
I don't
smelling
know.
It all
I don't
around.
Know if I buy that.
Cover
I feel like you need something.
Yeah.
You need
yeah.
some blood somewhere. The
face.
Well,
the top
Judith
of head,
will be
face.
Safe.
Yeah,
well,
Judith
Juice
is
completely
covered.
Yeah.
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 Good for Judith.
But yeah. that was my flaw with that. I brought it up last week, but I said, why didn't they cover their faces?
So how many characters do we have that are walking in unison through the pack of walkers? And they're only trying to
so
go
you
probably
Jesse?
You think they're around 100 yards total maybe?
I mean, we don't even know what
they're
their end destination is.
Yeah. Armory. They're going to Armory.
Armory. So yeah. we don't know how far away that is.
So it's a small town. Okay. Maybe 100 yards. You got to figure.
Maybe,
so you have
yeah.
Jesse, Ron, Sam, Rick, Judith, Carl, Michonne.
And so it's seven,
and,
six?
No,
seven.
And
Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Oh.
Eight.
Yeah,
eight.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have eight characters walking through, a number of them hand in hand. It ends with Sam.
Same mom.
Oh my God. That child and it,
but
they,
would
it
that
brought,
matter? But here's my thing: would that matter if they are covered in the
yes.
blood? What is a him yelling his mom's name? What does that matter?
I think
making
so.
Sound. I mean, drawing attention.
It's going to do something. And I like how this episode brought it all the way back around to Sam, because in the beginning,
I thought he was going to die.
Somebody asked this on Twitter. It is John Thompson. He said, what did you guys think of the intro? It showed a very good message, I think. And the intro, which was Sam in the room listening to that song, coloring on a piece of paper, and all these ants devouring the cookie that is always part of Sam's story. You know, and they brought that all the way back around to the end of this episode with Sam sort of being like, maybe he's going to be the cookie.
I did love the product placement by Skybound with the
toys,
with the invincible mini mates.
Yeah.
So yes. Cheers to that, Skybound.
Yeah. John Thompson, thank you. He complimented my Eugene impression. I
I don't know about John
you,
Thompson's
thank you for that.
taste, but you know. Yeah.
But no, I thought the intro was really telling, a really good tease to maybe Sam's demise.
Yeah, we'll see. We don't know. Yes, we'll see.
So, that's part of predictions. That's part of predictions.
Yeah, we'll save that for predictions. Yeah. Anything else we should touch on before we get into predictions? And also,
well, we should. I think
well,
it's
Negan.
Are
we going to talk about? Was that?
It's fair. It's fair to at this point, and if let's put a spoiler, even though we don't believe it's truly a spoiler.
Spoiler music,
at this
please.
Point.
Thank you, Mark.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Spoiler alert.
So the first commercial break of the Badlands was an actual scene from the episode, not even a preview for what's coming in the
yeah.
you know, second half of the season and stuff like that. And we're all looking at it, and it's like, it's a bunch of guys on bikes. We already knew about this aggressive individual that, you know, other
yeah.
people had to answer to. We know it's Negan.
Here's
There's
the
no
thing.
Way for it not to be.
Well, also, we're in spoiler mode now.
We are in
we watched
spoiler
it,
mode.
So we're assuming. And let's just be honest here, guys. Anybody that watched this episode, if they didn't immediately watch that preview, probably watched it, I don't know, a few minutes later. Like, if,
yeah.
it's hard to believe that they would say that and you wouldn't go watch it. If you love the show as much as any of us do, then I'm sure you're going to go hunt down the preview. So here's the thing.
It's also all over the internet right now.
Yeah. Spoiler. You said it once. We'll say it again. Legitimately. Yeah, exactly. So, basically, this was the really interesting thing. And
That's
I don't...
awesome.
Even though we're saying spoiler and all that, I don't want to get too heavy into this is what happens in the comics or this is what's coming. But we know that Jeffrey Dean Morgan was cast as Negan. This was
Love
announced.
Him.
He's
Love
great,
him.
And he fits the character perfectly.
Absolutely.
As far as the way the comic portrays him, it's fantastic. So, this scene that we saw from next week's episode, or next February's episode... It's not the same characters from the comic, which is what they do a lot. They shift characters over, but it's totally the scene that starts out the Negan arc, which is an awesome, awesome
yep.
arc that I'm so excited we're going to go towards. And I don't know. I mean, are you guys terrified for the safety of these characters?
So I will say, you know, because without giving away what happens in the comic, you know, everybody's predicting the big kill that happens on it. I don't think it happens with this scene.
No, it doesn't. It's later.
But this whole scene is to just establish that there is somebody that they're going to have to be answering to, and it's now all about ownership.
Yep.
And I love that mentality. I also think that there's going to be something really interesting with the Saviors and the Wolves, because the Wolves haven't been wrapped up yet at this point.
You're right.
Well, they killed the five that got away, right?
Yeah, but we don't know
how many others got away. Yeah,
yeah, true. Okay, so that's Negan.
I'm only like afraid for the group because they not only have these walkers to deal with now, but again, second threat is Negan and his group. So that's going to be.
There's an RPG in the truck. I think
that's too easy.
What I think will probably happen, if I'm guessing, is I think that they get away. I don't know how necessarily. But I don't think that this is, like you said, the big interaction, like the big drama. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to get away, and then I think you're going to meet.
They're going to warn the team.
I think they're... It's one of those, you're paying us the toll, we're the bridge troll. You'll live, but we're literally taking all of your stuff right now.
Yeah.
And we have enough guns pointed at you that you literally don't have a choice.
And that's why the RPG won't come into play at this point.
Maybe Negan gets the RPG.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so there's that. And then I think we should probably... Well, I don't want to talk about it too much, but this is what I want to say. Is in, again, spoiler, 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 as we've said it enough times already, because this isn't a reference to the comic, but we're in spoiler zone now. This episode in particular, the two cliffhangers we got, I'm not going to say specifically what happens. I don't think it's necessary. But there are two extremely dramatic and borderline unsettling moments that happen in the comic shortly after this time period that we're seeing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that happen. And both of them... they give you kind of a wink at the end of this episode towards, which to me is interesting because I feel like now the show is really playing to the comic book fan. Now it's totally playing to
at
the fans.
At this point, absolutely.
Yeah, that's 100% what this ended with. Because we both read it, we're both sitting there watching like, are we going to get any of it? Are we going to get any of this stuff? The crazy drama? And so that's an interesting shift for the show to take, is to very much go in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, here's the biggest thing on this episode. I felt like this was a 2-hour episode that they purposely cut in half.
That's true.
Yeah, I can see that.
And
yeah.
I think the best way to watch episode one of the second half of the season is going to be just watch them in one straight run, episode eight into episode nine. Because it really didn't feel like this was wrapping up an episode. This was purposely like, this is the midpoint of an episode
to
me.
Yeah, 100%.
And we're going to get at least one of those payoffs that you and I are hinting at that point.
So I think we should do two things right now. I think we should get into predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're leading.
Yeah, you're the leader.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for that.
Come on, Rick.
Should I do the voice in Rick's voice?
No.
Get out.
No.
You're not talking about me?
You're not leading anymore.
No.
All right. There's two things I want to do. I want to visit our predictions for who is going to die, because I think we should, as you said,
most of them.
Well, it's a two-parter, right? So I think...
every one of these should carry over into the episode 9,
okay,
is my gut.
I'm down with that.
Just leave them as is?
Leave them as is.
Okay, that's fair. We'll just leave them then.
Because it is one big episode.
Yeah.
Then let's get into our actual predictions for what's going to happen
right.
in episode 1 or just going forward in general. I'll jump in first. I think that Mom, that whole thing, I think you're going to get some real bloody, gory, dramatic deaths, and it's going to happen right away.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be first episode in this season.
The whole family dies.
Yeah.
I think the whole family dies.
Jesse, Sam, and Ron?
Yeah.
I was thinking that Sam is going to be in danger, and Ron or Jesse is going to try to save him and die trying, and Sam's going to survive.
I don't think we've
Maybe.
We've gotten enough of the Rick and Jesse relationship
They're
going to off her yet. I think there's a really interesting dynamic of if the kids die or one of the kids dies because of Rick's plan and they keep her alive.
Yeah.
That she resents him and it becomes a whole...
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go with that Sam dies, not Ron, even though I predicted Ron last week, because Sam is... Ron, we want to die, honestly. We do. We want him to die. Sam is like a kind of we want him to live, but we kind of don't want him to live because he's sort of an annoying little kid.
We want him to learn.
Yeah, like, we want him to learn, but he's gonna die.
He doesn't even finish his cookie. He's a little ungrateful bastard.
Yeah, I think Sam's gonna go down. I think we're gonna lose Sam, and I think that even if we really look at the build up to who's gonna die, they're focusing on a lot of Sam, mm-hmm. and yeah. I feel like it's like foreshadowing of what's gonna be next season.
Which is
and
my thoughts on that cookie and the ants.
The cookie and ants and devouring. Yeah. And I think Spencer is going to be an interesting character because Spencer's lost now his mom, his dad, his brother. So we've been talking about him. We don't know where he is, but I think he's going to lose it. And I think that he's going to be someone down the line that is
going to be a problem.
He joins Negan's team.
Yeah. I think he's going to,
Or does he make the unexpected save? Does he do something to try to redeem himself where he tries to save Maggie or something like that?
No, again, like, just try to do, like, the noble thing? I do think, like...
He's probably drunk, to be fair.
Yeah, probably. I'm very curious to know, kind of, with them, I guess, a prediction. I think you're just going to see... The Negan storyline is going to be drawn out for a while, and I also think that it's going to be a lot less rated R than people are expecting. I don't think it's going to be quite as gnarly as it could be.
I think it's going to use very creative camera angles.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, after Jessica Jones and stuff like that, without spoiling anything, I think people are going to be taking more risks with what they could push the envelope with.
Got it.
So I do think some of those key characteristics that have even been hinted about in the show with Negan are going to come out. It's just a matter of how it's shot and portrayed.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Any other big ones, guys?
No, I do have to say one thing. I have to give one special shout out kind of to Eugene because I hate on him so much. Yeah. And tonight he did do one thing finally to help the group. He was able to unlock a break in a lock.
Yeah.
Finally.
With a paperclip.
With a paperclip. Yeah. He was able to do something. Yeah. So thank you for being able to do something, Eugene.
So we do have
redemption.
We do have one from James the Crankster, who shot us an image that was what I was showing. And he's saying he thinks that Negan is coming for Daryl.
Might be.
Like to take him on his team.
No.
Or to kill him.
I think he's referencing the death that we all think is going to happen because
Daryl's
of the comics.
Not dying.
And I think he's saying it's going to switch.
They haven't focused enough on Daryl to let him die yet.
Oh, I don't think
he's a key character.
I don't think he's saying first episode of next season, but he thinks in that arc. That's who's going to get taken out.
It's interesting because, and I hope we're in spoiler territory at this point.
We're way beyond that at this point.
It is interesting just because I think like the way that it happens in the comic, without just, I don't want to harp on it, but like the way that it does happen, it's very significant to the way the story ends up going and the characters that are still alive in the comics who are important characters in the show. Like that scene that we're talking about, this really, really intense scene with Negan, like it's a super, super important scene to where the comic eventually ends up.
Mm-hmm.
There's switching another character out for the character in question, it doesn't achieve the same thing.
You know what? I do have a prediction that isn't based off of something from the comic, so I think it could be appreciated. I think that somehow the group of the saviors that are there are actually going to help them clean up Alexandria, and that is what's going to put Alexandria into Negan's debt.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Oh, I like that.
I like that.
That'll make things really crazy.
I have two more. I think Maggie's going to lose the baby, and I think that Glenn is going to die the second half of the season.
Could be.
Possibly.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I would be bummed, but, you know, it's the way...
I feel like...
Nothing is unfair anymore.
I feel like they have they've taken us away from thinking that he's going to be dead, and then
no,
I think that,
we
you know, there's still some things that are going to happen with him.
What the hell's going to happen with Morgan? That's what I really want to know.
Well, I still have him on the list to die.
I didn't say this earlier, but I thought it was so ridiculous and convenient that they both got knocked out in that scene with the world.
Yeah, I agree.
That was a hell of a hit.
Yeah, it was.
With the guy who had his arms still wrapped.
Come on, though.
How did he just, like,
so
how did he just,
convenient.
Like, get up?
And
like,
Denise
was talking about that body slam that Morgan did to Carol, though. Yeah, I was like, that was damn. Cool.
He was just
crazy
sitting there docile where she was just, like, hiding in the corner the whole time?
He was calculating.
Well, I wanted to know, because he chose not to get up when Morgan and Carol were outside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why did he wait until they were back inside before he could get up? That was a little weird.
Because I assumed he was tied up. I just...
Right, but Denise didn't untie him to look at the wound.
Yeah, it's true. It's very weird. Guys, I think it's got to wrap it up for us.
Yeah, I got
for the episode. It's a full hour, and we just wrapped
for
up
the mid-season
finale. Yeah. This was a really fun one to talk about.
It's crazy.
I can't wait for February. I'm gonna miss it so much.
I know,
Sunday night.
I know, it's so weird. Guys.
Yeah.
I know. I'm gonna miss you, Joyce.
Sad.
Oh, right.
we all
but Joyce is closest to me, so I miss her.
It's all right. It's not like we all live in this city or anything like that.
Well, I'll be back.
Can't see each other.
Yeah.
Yes, we will.
100%.
I'll be back.
In the meantime, Daryl, if they want to find you and other endeavors you're involved in, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat. Thank you, Joyce. Daryl Christian, DerrialChriston. And you can follow me on Black Hollywood Live as well, our sister company that I am over as well. So
cool. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I've got some behind-the-scenes footage of us, of the panel and everything on Snapchat.
Scared.
And find me on the Tuesday night Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast next week when it comes back.
Nice. And you can find me at The John Carl on Twitter and on Instagram, and also Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube. This month, Daryl will be on a few episodes of Whiskey and Waffles.
And I may be drunk.
Yeah, it happens.
I think more than may. I'm Ben Bateman. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ben Bateman Media. I do a show on Popcorn Talk called Action Movie Anatomy. Me and my best friend break down action movies and why we think they're sweet. I do magic card content for RocketJump.com and recently got a job with The Box Score, as seen on Dan Patrick, sketch comedy content, writing, producing, directing, and acting. So if you watch DirecTV or Dan Patrick, you'll probably see my stuff. Otherwise, I'll see you guys in February, and this was a lovely season.
God, it's like so long from now.
Yep.
I gotta watch reruns.
See you in the new year.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.